This is episode 16, Trash Talking with Eco Warriors.
You're tuning in to Trash Talking with Eco Warriors, where women share inspiring stories about their careers in green business, sustainability, and conservation. Here's your host and founder of Trashy Beauty, Barbara Lee.
Hey, Eco Warriors, we're starting to nail down the details for screening the Wasted Food documentary in early April. Stay tuned. I'll send out a save the date as soon as we have the venue nailed down. Thank you to everyone who has subscribed, reviewed, and shared the podcast so far. If you are enjoying the podcast, I would really appreciate if you took the time to give it a 5-star rating and leave a positive note. We do take the time to read everything that you write, and I really love hearing from you all. We actually recently got a question in from one of our listeners that I'm working to find the answers to address. So keep the questions coming. Maybe share your stories of how you're trying to reach a more sustainable lifestyle, and we'll share it with the rest of our listeners. Today's guest is Nicole Baum of Gotham Greens. I actually recently met Nicole for the first time in person at a food and tech event. She is super lovely. You've probably seen Gotham Greens in your local grocery store or Whole Foods, and if you haven't, you should definitely check it out. Gotham Greens started from the idea that as an urban city grows in density and population, the impact of where our food, specifically leafy greens, comes from is starting to increase as well. If we can figure out a way to turn urban spaces into arable land, we can decrease the carbon footprint of these foods, increase the nutrition and the lifespan of them, and also save a lot of produce from being thrown out. As Nicole points out during her talk, about 50% of leafy greens are thrown out before they even reach the end consumer. Using this model, Gotham Greens has turned rooftops in New York City and Chicago into sustainable urban farms that are able to produce better, fresher produce with 1/10 of the water than traditional agriculture. Let's get trash talking.
Hi, Nicole. Welcome to Trash Talking.
Thank you so much. Awesome to be here.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about you and what it is that you do.
So I work for Gotham Greens, and we are a local produce brand with commercial scale rooftop greenhouses in New York City and in Chicago. Started our company back in 2009 and actually built a commercial scale greenhouse on the rooftop of a factory in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. Have you seen it?
No, but I've seen pictures and it looks really cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. There's a lot of solar panels around it. First commercial scale facility. So as you can imagine, we got a lot of crazy looks when we said we wanted to build a greenhouse on top of a rooftop in New York City. But within a couple months, we had attracted customers like Whole Foods, also Gramercy Tavern. Chef Mike Anthony was one of our first customers. So it got a lot of momentum and now have 4 greenhouses in New York City and Chicago.
Wow, that's amazing.
So I manage the marketing and partnerships for Gotham Greens. I started there 4 years ago, so right as we were opening our location on top of Whole Foods in Brooklyn. Yeah, it's been a fun road.
And so kind of explain a little bit about why this is so important and why it's so cool that you're growing greens on the rooftop.
So cities, they don't have much arable land, right? And as you look at just the global population, people are moving to cities. So much of the lettuces and herbs that we have access to in the U.S. are coming from 2 states. Do you know which ones?
No. California, I'm guessing?
Yes. California and Arizona. So if you think about just kind of the operational feat of that, they're getting harvested in the field in California. They're getting packaged on site, or like they're being carried over to another facility where they're being packaged, and then they're being trucked across the country. So by the time they reach New York City or Chicago, they're about like a week old. And these items are highly perishable. You know, within hours of actually harvesting them, they're actually starting to break down. And so that was the inspiration, really. We were going to supermarkets in New York City and seeing that by day 2 of having a container of salad in our fridge, it was turning all soupy.
Yeah.
And so we realized that there was just a better way to do this. So by growing the produce in the city and harvesting and packaging on site, we could deliver directly to retailers and to restaurants and be able to pass on the extra shelf life to consumers rather than having the product spend most of its life on a truck.
That's awesome. Talk a little bit about, like, what type of yields do you guys get out of, like, what square footage?
So we actually are using a type of farming called hydroponics. Basically, what that means is there's actually no soil within the whole greenhouse. We're using basically water, and we're dissolving all the nutrition that you would traditionally find in soil, like carbon and magnesium and potassium and nitrogen. All of those things, we're getting the water-soluble form, and we're creating a recipe of nutrition per each plant. For example, basil may have different nutritional needs than, say, romaine lettuce, and we can actually customize the nutrition so we're able to get the freshest, you know, best-tasting lettuce or basil and really fine-tune it on a micro level.
Wow.
So part of also just that flavor and nutrition is coming from just the freshness. So by being able to, these large-scale greenhouses in the city, we're able to have it within hours of harvesting it. For example, the location on top of Whole Foods in Brooklyn, on top of the Gowanus Whole Foods, that location, our farmers are in there at like 7 a.m. They're harvesting, and then our team will package it, and then it just goes down through the elevator and makes its way down to the storefront. So this idea is really taking food miles and converting it into food footsteps.
Wow, that's so cool.
It's a cool place to work. It's January right now, and we've had record-breaking cold sprees. If you go into our greenhouse any time of year, it's about 75 degrees and about 70% humidity. It kind of feels like walking around in San Diego in the middle of January.
Oh, gosh, I would love that.
Dreamboat.
So what kind of yields are you getting?
Well, that one is actually one of our smaller farms, but yeah, it's extremely productive. So hydroponics allows you to, it's very lightweight and modular. And so that was one of the reasons why we actually chose that kind of growing within our greenhouses. Being on a rooftop, you have to kind of think about the actual weight and load that you have on the building downstairs. Actually, our greenhouses are about 20 to 30 times as productive as traditional soil-based farms. And part of that is coming from the fact that, you know, summer conditions all year round. And also, we're able to grow a lot more product within a small square footage. It's pretty unique walking through these greenhouses. The actual channels, if you look at some of the pictures on our Instagram feed, you can get some better imagery of what our farms actually look like. But the channels are kind of like waist height. You're seeing just 2 acres in our Chicago greenhouse or half an acre or our sizes in Brooklyn. You're seeing just like vast amounts of greenery. They're all leafy greens and herbs are very, you know, fragrant. Not exactly what you'd expect to see on a rooftop in Brooklyn or Queens or Chicago.
And also, I learned recently something about hydroponics is that it takes like a third of the water to grow the same type of produce.
Yeah, we actually use a tenth of the amount of water. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So we're recycling all of our irrigation water, and we're actually using gravity to feed the plants. So if you can imagine this, I'm going to try and like walk you through our greenhouse with words. Basically, the channels that these little seedlings are growing in are all downward sloping. And so there's water that's nutrient dense and it's running under the roots of the plant. And whatever is not absorbed by the plant is actually collected and recycled. So it's on this kind of closed loop system. In doing so, it's really conserving this water. Agriculture is one of the leading causes of global water pollution. And there's a lot of excitement around it. And some people say, it's the future of farming, and we're very careful not to necessarily make those sweeping statements. But we really do see that there are some applications for hydroponics, like growing leafy greens and herbs, that are super well suited for it. And, you know, it uses a fraction of the amount of land, uses a fraction of the amount of water. It allows you to really grow produce items that typically are highly associated with food waste. So if you're trucking lettuces and herbs across the country, you're actually getting a huge amount of that. It's ending up in the landfill case scenario. It's getting composted. Part of this local story is that you're reducing food waste that's associated with that long-haul transportation.
So talk a little bit about like the long-term goal of this. Like, do you see it being a viable way to grow all the grains that a city can consume?
Yeah, so I think that hydroponics and our form of farming in particular is really, really well suited for those things like leafy greens and herbs. Can't really imagine a scenario where things like grains and like citrus or anything like that will be grown in hydroponics. But I think that if you just look at the cities, there are acres upon acres of unused rooftop space. And even in less densely populated cities, there's also many acres on the ground that are very well suited for production. And I think that lettuces and herbs will continue to be grown, especially, you know, that's one of the things that Gotham Greens really focuses on, is creating these like very high value, perishable products and, you know, growing them in a sustainable way close to the end consumer. We're excited to take it on the road. Later this year, we're going to be announcing a handful of new projects in new cities across the country.
Cool. I'm so excited to see where else you guys are going to take this idea.
So I can't publicly make any announcements yet. We're definitely, you know, looking to cities that have high populations and harsher winters. Our Queens location is actually our largest facility in New York, and it's about an acre and a half. Fun fact, it's on the rooftop of the factory where the Rubik's Cube was originally manufactured.
Awesome. That's so great. Let's talk about why it is that you're so interested in sustainability and the environment.
Well, you know, I grew up in Rhode Island and always had a garden. I remember working with my dad in the garden when he got home from work, and have always just been really connected to nature. I went to school in Boulder and spent most of my time that wasn't in the classroom outdoors. So I've always really been connected to nature in some matter. After school, I actually was working in private equity for a couple of years and just realized that it was not the best fit for me. I learned a lot, but I just like wasn't super stimulated. By the end of my time there, I just realized that I wasn't really making a huge impact, and I was looking to do something that was more meaningful. My husband is a chef and was involved in different types of food and wine projects, and it just kind of led me towards food and realized how much of food is actually not being produced locally. I was really curious about how technology could really impact and decrease the amount of food waste that's associated with all these restaurants and, you know, food projects. All of that really kind of led me doing more research, and then I think I found our CEO's TED Talk and was just like super inspired by it. About a month later, I literally just pitched him. I ran into him and just noticing that they were about to open the location on top of Whole Foods, and really just saw it as an opportunity and created a branding campaign, and it's been almost 4 years.
That's so great.
My introduction and my relationship with nature has always been one of curiosity and preservation. Just realized how important it is to preserve it and the effects that humans have on nature. Just realized that there was something I could be part of. There was a movement that I wanted to be part of that was taking responsibility for preservation and, you know, using less and trying to limit the amount of waste that's associated with being located in cities and still eating the way we want to and having, you know, better nutrition because of it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And have you had like a specific inspiring moment in nature or something that like really touched you?
When you say that, I think kind of back to my time in Colorado. I used to go hiking with my aunt, who's a rock star. She's like the ultimate granola outdoors woman and kind of like helped kindle and teach me about the wild outdoors and how to kind of fend for yourself with long backpacking trips and camping. And I remember doing an early hike my freshman year of college and coming out west being in total awe. It was really early in the morning and we were hiking up Chautauqua, which is the base of the Flatirons. I just remember seeing these deer just like run across our path as we were making our way up Chautauqua in Boulder. And just like over the course of a couple hour hike that we were doing, just like seeing all of these animals and walking through and feeling that relationship with, you know, wildlife and how they were, you know, tentatively watching us and how we were in a way interacting without, you know, really bothering each other and how we were both enjoying just the beauty that's out there. Just hiking and having that exposure has really kept me very connected to the cause. And on weekends, I typically try and get out, whether it's, you know, going biking or going for long walks in the park. And for me, it's always been a way that I am able to create some space in my own brain. And
nature definitely has that effect on you.
It's amazing to have that early exposure to nature. One of my favorite parts of my job is that I've helped to create a seedling donation program where we actually donating hundreds of our plants every week to local public schools and to community gardens. So they're using them in the classroom for STEM-based programming. they're using them in like the New York and Chicago parks departments for conservation and children's gardens. And so really a cool way to be able to show people, whether it's adults or kids, plants don't necessarily have to be grown in dirt as you would traditionally imagine. There are many ways of kind of constructing a more sustainable food system, but I think that the future of a more sustainable and just food system really has multiple models of farming.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's really cool, like the work that you're doing. And I think seeing something grow is a huge part of what could inspire people to think more about everything that's around them and how we interact with nature.
Absolutely. We have a weekly touring program that's free and open to the public, and that's at our Gowanus, Brooklyn location. So the location on top of Whole Foods. So every Wednesday from 5 to 6 p.m., we have a tour that goes on. And so we have myself or one of my colleagues welcomes people in. I think we usually cap it off at 25 people, and we fill up every week. Yeah, they get to see inside the farm. We have this outdoor observation deck. We typically will also send everybody home with product. So you get to do a tasting of all of our lettuces and our pesto. And it's just kind of a cool way to see, because I don't know that people can imagine what a soilless farm looks like if they've never seen one.
Oh, that's so cool. I'm so glad that people can go and actually like see the working farm.
Yeah, definitely. So some of our major partners in New York are Green Bronx Machine, and they're actually expanding out to Chicago as well, which is really exciting. So they use these aeroponic tower gardens, and they're using our seedlings in the classroom, and these kids are learning about math and addition and measuring, and what better way to use those skills than to be, you know, using live plants. They're measuring the plant's growth over the course of a couple days and charting that. Then they're eventually harvesting the crops themselves, and they'll incorporate it into kind of more wellness-based cooking classes. Green Bronx Machine, Wellness in the Schools, those are two of some of our bigger partners in New York. And in Chicago, we work with the Kitchen Community and Pilot Light and Gardeniers.
One thing I didn't touch on that I didn't know if you wanted to talk about is food deserts and like how growing in a city locally can kind of help alleviate and kind of help with this problem of like certain areas of the city is just very difficult to get fresh produce.
So food deserts are definitely an issue, even in places like New York City, where you think about all the restaurants and all the supermarkets and all the people that need to have access. There are certainly pockets of the city that just don't have the same access. So I think, yeah, urban farming is a way to kind of address that, in that you're creating local production. And for example, our partners up at the Green Bronx Machine, one of the main reasons why they actually created that program was because they're surrounded by these corner stores, these bodegas. And Stephen Ritz and his wife Lizette realized that just so many of their students were actually facing extreme dietary issues because of their lack of access to fresh produce. So I think urban farming, even extended to the classroom, is helping to kind of address some of that. And some of our community partners, like Wellness in the Schools and the Green Bronx Machine, are actually sending their kids home with these greens. So they're not only using it for their math and science and cooking classes, but they're also bringing those recipes home and integrating them into their family meals. But I think that as an overall picture, we're not totally there yet. In Chicago, we're located on the south side, and we've partnered up with the University of Chicago and with our partner Method, who's our landlord. You know Method, they make eco-friendly cleaning supplies. So we've actually partnered with them to help some of these corner stores that are located around our greenhouse on the south side of Chicago, and get, you know, discount our product and help them clean up the stores and incentivize them to carry fresh produce in these bodegas, where typically they've never had fresh produce. So while I would say it's definitely a start, I think it's definitely an issue that as a country we need to continue to address.
That's so amazing that there are like programs and people who are working on these issues. It's something that like I think about a lot, and I think New York and Chicago are two cities that definitely need help with preventing these food deserts.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell me a little bit, because you guys have like a huge spread of companies and brands and grocers who carry your produce. So How long has the company been in business?
So we started our company in 2009, but built our first greenhouse in 2011. It didn't take long before people started trying it, and we attracted customers like Whole Foods. And so within a couple months, really, we were sold out. Our CEO was like, actually had just deferred grad school when he pitched this idea. And then he basically like called his parents. He was like, I'm not going to grad school. Like, this is what I'm doing. I'm going to be an urban farmer.
That's so cool. Is that kind of like what keeps you motivated to continue this type of work? Is it just seeing that like people are wanting this and that they're interested in purchasing it?
Yeah. And I think seeing that the demand for the product is continuing to outstrip the supply has been just like a very positive affirmation for us, seeing that people are coming back for it because of the quality, not just because it's grown on a Brooklyn rooftop, but I think in the end, the fact that like these Michelin star restaurants and like major supermarkets and even your local supermarket in your neighborhood is carrying our product, like that's a really good sign that people actually do care about the quality and the fact that it is grown a little bit more sustainably, and in buying a local product that really is kind of targeted around sustainability, you can be part of that movement.
Absolutely. And I do think your greens are delicious. Your butter lettuce is just out of this world.
Ah, thank you. That's actually, I think, my favorite lettuce as well. The Butterhead, or what we call the Windy City Crunch in Chicago, or the Blooming Brooklyn Iceberg in New York. That's also one of my favorites. It's super crunchy.
So cool. It's such cool names.
Thanks.
And so I guess, what are your three tips for someone who wants to live a more eco-conscious lifestyle?
One of my first ones would be support local companies, you know, and people that are focused on doing cool things and like creating a community around it where you live. And I think with that, there comes a lot more transparency of like how things are produced. The second thing would be think about food waste. I think even on a very small level, we all, you know, buy things and forget about them in our fridge. And I think that there are just like some really attainable ways that as consumers, we can be a little bit more mindful of what we're doing and what we're buying and making sure that we're using all of it. Even the idea of, for example, our ugly greens are something that was a really exciting project for me last year, in that we created this new program that are like focused around some of our lettuces that might have some cosmetic blemishes. We created a new product that actually packaged those and sold them at a steep discount. And that was a way for us to kind of use our platform as leaders in sustainability and local brands that consumers were aware of, and kind of bringing the idea to top of mind of just because it might not look perfect doesn't mean that it's not delicious and, you know, pesticide-free and all those things that the rest of our greens are. So for me, food waste is just something that is really staggering. If you look at the global and national numbers, I think we can all play a part in just being a little bit more resourceful by purchasing ugly and just being a little bit more mindful of like how much we're buying and where we're buying it from. As much as 50% of lettuces and herbs are actually thrown out before they reach the fork. So from farm to fork, being trucked across country and all of those kind of issues that we've previously talked about, it's leading to just so much of our production as a nation being thrown out. So all of those things, buying locally and, you know, being a little bit more resourceful with what you buy can contribute to less food waste. As a third item, as urbanites, like grow something. I think it's really powerful to be able to like nurture a plant and have that greenery in your life. And I think it's easier. You can start with like succulents if you don't have a green thumb, but it's pretty powerful to nurture and to see something grow. And I think with that kind of ignites this excitement of how can I do more? Find your way to connect with nature, even if you live in a concrete jungle.
Absolutely. I actually really am a huge advocate for sprouting because it's just so simple and easy. And then you're like making your own food.
It's so good. And even just thinking about kind of like the food waste thing, is if you have something that maybe doesn't look like it's at its prime, like make a smoothie out of it. Don't throw it out. And if you do need to throw it out, I think we're lucky in New York. And I know that the program is rolling out around the country where there's actually municipal composting. So kind of taking your own initiative, just put aside those food scraps.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm a huge fan of composting as well. And my nearest site, luckily, is maybe a 10 or 12 minute walk from my apartment. And so it makes it very easy to go on Saturdays and take my
scraps. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of these larger city markets also will have composting stations too, where you can bring your food scraps each week and kind of be part of this larger movement. I'm always like super inspired when I go to Queen City markets and I see all the people, you know, bringing their food scraps there. And it's kind of amazing when you see just the amount of stuff that you're saving from going into a landfill.
And do you have anything crazy or outlandish that you've done in the name of nature or sustainability?
I would say quitting my job in private equity is definitely felt like pretty crazy at the time in search of just something a little bit more meaningful that could be more impactful. That job transition for me felt like it was a major fork in the road as far as my life plan. So I would probably point to that.
That's awesome. And so if people want to get in touch with you or if they want to check out Gotham Greens, how can they find you?
So our website is just gothamgreens.com, and we're really active on social, so Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can find out about our weekly touring program, different events that we're doing throughout the community. Being located in the cities, really, we're very focused on just like understanding what other things are going on locally and having a part in it. So whether it's we're sponsoring Greens for a fundraiser, or, you know, we're partnering with a local chef working on like a workshop around meal prep or something like that. You can find us active throughout the community. I would say our social channels are a good way to find out what we're up to next.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time, Nicole. It's been an amazing chat.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
I love talking to Nicole about Gotham Greens and hearing which of their greens is her favorite. I'm partial to the butter lettuce because it's really fantastic to use as a lettuce cup for things like mushroom or chicken wraps. We are sold out on the Farm One tour on Friday, February 23rd. If you're signed up to go, I'm so looking forward to seeing you. I've got quite a few treats lined up from sustainable partners like Eleva Coffee and Tea Pigs. So it's going to be quite a fun event, and we'll be leaving you with something nice to take home. Also, I'll be heading down to Mexico next week to check out Carnival de Baidora and to meet Camila Lopez from episode 14th in person. The festival takes place on February 16th to 18th, and there are still tickets available if you're interested in skipping down to Mexico for a bit and escaping the winter. If you are going to be traveling, I do highly recommend that you check out Wildlife Works from episode 9 as an option for offsetting your carbon output from your flight. I do this every time I travel. It only costs about $13 a month for me to offset my entire carbon footprint. And it's a great way to feel great about continuing to do the things that are important to you and experiencing life and our planet, but also minimizing your impact on it. Thanks again for tuning in, and tune in again next time, Eco Warriors. Stay green.
Thanks for talking dirty with us. Tune in next week for more Trash Talking with Eco Warriors. For more inspiration, follow us on Instagram at TrashyBeautyCo.